यानि दाबुतानि समागतानि भूमानि वायानि वा अन्तालिके तथागतं देवा मनुषा पूजितं बुधं नमास्सम सुवाति होतु।
I often wonder if people who couldn't face the world or couldn't make sense of it, and they thought that forced cessation, death, would hasten their entry into a haven of peace by escaping unbearable suffering of the body or mind. But we don't have to force it or resort to extremes. Because there is a non-violent way to peace that will give us relief and release from the troubles of the world, of the mind, of life. Even in the midst of terrible pain or loss, there is a way out of our distress. During the time of the Buddha, there was a bhikkhuni named Patachara. As a laywoman, she suffered the loss of both her infant children, her husband, and her parents through a series of tragic accidents. When she finally came to the Buddha, she was practically mad with grief, tearing out her hair and her clothes. And the people led her to the Buddha, hoping that he could help her. The Buddha told her to compose her mind. That's how she came to this realization, the universality of suffering, and the impermanence of all conditioned things. When she reflected on this teaching, she very soon realized that everything that is born will perish. Nothing that comes into this world does not cease to exist. Neither mother, father, brothers, sisters, children, grandparents, husbands, wives, all. Eventually, she was ordained and attained full enlightenment. How many have passed through the gates of life and death in this universe, on this earth? How much blood has been shed? How many tears have poured forth through these millennia of human existence? No one is immune to this ancient universal law. And this vital understanding led Patachara to let go the misery of her life's misfortunes. All conditioned phenomena are transient. They have the nature to arise and the nature to cease. And in their cessation, there is peace. So, how can we feel peace when someone dies that we love? We have so much grief, so much sorrow. When the mind is overwhelmed with darkness, we suffer. But if we question who dies and who are we? Who is this I? And what is really ours? We also can realize all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will be separated from me. We are not this body, and yet we believe that we are. We are not this mind. We see forms. We feel feelings. We see perceptions. We know mental formations and thoughts, memories, consciousness. But is anyone in there? Is it not all just constantly changing, impermanent conditionality? How can we find refuge in these impermanent forms, feelings, perceptions, mental formations, thoughts, memories, and consciousness that is time-bound, that is death-bound? When we probe deeply, we witness this impermanence in every moment of agony, in every moment of fear, in the darkest night. We consider and ponder and patiently reflect, is there anything we know that is not conditioned, that is not death-bound? Is there anything we can call our true nature? When we witness the ever-changing, unending stream of mental and physical phenomena passing through consciousness, we come to know the emptiness of all things. Our concepts, our ideas, our thoughts, our illusions, our assumptions, our feelings. There's nothing solid in any of it. Nothing permanent. Nothing that we can take refuge in except present moment awareness of our experience, of what is known. Look at anger. It arises and ceases. It lasts for a while and it dies. Not that we don't feel upset, but we don't own anger. It's not me or mine. It's just what it is. It's impermanent and it obeys this ancient law of the universe that applies to everything in the external world and in our internal processes. And as we connect to the natural rhythm of our life, we can touch and know our true nature. We can open to that, no matter how awful it might feel. We stay present in this moment and we see clearly what is arising without thinking of the future and wishing things were different. Just to be with what is now. It may not be what we want, but if we have wisdom in the heart right now to trust this, we know that we have everything, everything we need to face this human journey. Etty Hillason was a courageous young victim of the 20th century Holocaust. She lived through physical abuse, imprisonment, and finally, she was exterminated. But Etty did not give up being human. She suffered with dignity and compassion. And most strikingly, the most profound compassion, she refused to descend into hatred or resentment, even to her worst abusers. We've all been criticized at some point, insulted, if not physically harmed, afraid, or mistreated. How do we receive abuse, How do we deal with a friend dear to us committing suicide? Or when we lose a parent, or we have a life-threatening illness, we suffer. We may feel angry. We may feel sorrow or grief for years. Such feelings can overcome the mind. Even when we talk about something sorrowful, we might cry or feel terrible again. But like Etty, we can extinguish the fire of suffering and face it with peace. We burn without being burned. How do we do that? Contemplative awareness and wise attention is a miraculous path. It's a pathway to fearlessness. We can know our emotional skeletons, see them for what they are, and let them go. Because they're impermanent. They're conditioned. We don't own them. They have no reality except what we give them. In and of themselves, they are empty. If we look into that mirror of the mind again and again, and see with awareness itself, see our frightened face as a mask. If we don't mistake the shadow of the moon for the moon, we let go our mental habits. We let go our accumulated pain and conditioning from this lifetime. Even our deepest trauma, we can let go. Because what we are, what we truly are, is not reflected in the impurities of the mind, but rather here inside the mirror of the heart, in the stillness within us. If we see into that purity, we can never turn our back on this peace, no matter how much suffering life deals us. We just have to come back to knowing this truth of what we really are. Yes, the body gets sick, and ignorance leads us into suffering. But awareness and pure consciousness are not that. We are not the body. So we have to understand, what are we? And learn to live and die, to accept our joy and our pain. Suffering is a given, but what we do with it, we have a choice. We can tame the mind and come to that absolute stillness and clarity, which abandons the anger, the doubt, the sorrow, the furtive, restless mind that burns and maddens us and sickens us at heart. These difficult states of mind are not simply dismissed or thrown away. But most importantly, we have to understand and know them for what they are. Investigate. What is this anger? It's impermanent. It arises due to conditions. There's been a trigger, there's a habit, but we have a choice to see this suffering, see it as empty, know that that's not what we are, and abandon it. We open the heart, seeing and knowing without drowning or being lost in grief or sorrow, or even in bliss, streaming through us, because we're not that either. We may be grief-stricken or overexcited, but we are not lost in either of those extremes. We are not overwhelmed. We go right down the middle, balancing, knowing the truth of this awareness. We remain clear and understand the nature of our sorrow or the nature of our excitement, and know that neither of these mind states give us shelter or refuge. So we look for that which is stable and secure. We don't trust the ephemeral. And we know there is a truth, a benign awareness, a pure infinite presence which can know both sorrow and joy as waves in the sea of the heart. And when we abide in that kind of knowing, in that kind of awareness, we feel a depth of peace. For joy is hidden in sorrow. And we can die to our greed, to our hatred, to our frustration, to our bereavement. We can let them go, not forcibly, but knowingly. It's a cessation not by force, but by understanding our true nature. So then we are more fully alive, enriched, and in harmony with that truth. We surrender and give up to that. We stand at the brink of the world without clinging to any of it. And yet we embrace life completely with this universal state of mind, with compassion that is unconditioned. We see how each and every one of us is connected invisibly. Maybe in a way that we still don't completely understand, but we begin to know it. We know that we are brothers and sisters in old age, in birth, sickness, and death. We stand through all that life gives us with dignity, with grace. And we look into the mirror of the heart. Even when it feels like we're burning with some of these ancient, unresolved feelings. So we bow to our true refuge. We burn and accept things just as they are without burning. We burn our delusion, our anger, our doubt, our self-preoccupation, our worry and anxiety. It's not a physical death or a physical burning. It's a spiritual holocaust of great importance. We have to practice so much patience and courage, because this moment is the only moment that we have. Whole lifetime in one moment, and our lifeline to what is possible. To be practicing fully present, just as we are right now. And we keep doing that moment by moment, not just when we're sitting still in some perfect peaceful setting, but there on the street where we live, at the office where we work, behind the wheel of the car that we drive. But we're steering with truth, with the wheel of Dhamma, beyond the tension or stress or the overwhelming pain that we feel. We just pierce through the dust in front of our eyes to clearly see what we are and to touch the truth of the unconditioned with awareness, fully conscious and awake. We're still human. We still have desires. And the process of fully waking up takes time. By facing our own humanity, we realize that which is eternal. It's a strange paradox. We dive deep into the darkness to look for the glowing pearl at the bottom of the ocean. If you stay above the ocean, you only see the waves. You see the movement, the change, the trouble, the pains. Maybe we wanted to get rid of fear or try to overcome death. But it's not by getting rid of anything except our ignorance. That's how we enter into the eternal. And with awareness, we know the way of harmlessness. Even in the moment of death, we can feel joy because we know that this body, mind, is not who we are, that no one dies. So it's not by getting rid of anything, but just by dropping our illusions and our assumptions that we enter into the deathless. What if we never died? Think of it. What if you never got old? You never got sick? Could we really love each other if we were here forever? Actually, there is no love without suffering. There is no understanding of truth without death. Because what we most treasure is what we can lose. It's through loss that we learn to love. And love, pure love, is what we are. It is through our own mortality that we learn the truth of the way things are. That's why the Buddha used suffering. The Four Noble Truths are based on the knowledge of suffering, to understand suffering, to know the beginning of it, how it unfolds and how it ends, and then to know the path to its ending. That's how we gain freedom from all this suffering. And we realize the unshakable deliverance of the heart. So suffering can take us beyond suffering. Don't look for happiness in anything that is impermanent, that is death bound. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be with family and friends and enjoy each other's company or our work or have a pleasurable meal or wear nice things or enjoy the fineries of this human realm. This path is not a denial of the joys of life, but to understand their limitation, the spiritual confinement caused by our worldly attachments. Look for happiness where we can really find it, where ultimate happiness can be found. But we may have to face the fire, to suffer, and to grow our courage through a very dark night or weather a terrible storm, and have enough faith that we will come through to the other side deeply blessed. Eventually, we realize that stillness of the heart. We look into the internal mirror and wisdom begins to arise. We will find happiness unlike anything in this earthly realm, and it will sustain us in the darkness. This is a quote from Eti Hilesum. I have looked our destruction, our miserable end, which has already begun in so many ways, straight in the eye. I accepted it into my life, not bitter or rebellious or in any way discouraged. I continue to grow from day to day, even with destruction staring me in the face. The reality of death has become a definite part of my life. My life has become extended by death, by looking death in the eye and accepting it. Accepting destruction as part of life, I am no longer wasting my energies on fear of death or the refusal to acknowledge its inevitability. That's what Eti wrote. Look at these candles on the shrine here in front of us. They burn brightly, but as they burn, they die. For there to be light, the light of wisdom and truth, there has to be a dying. Impermanence has to be understood for the mind to wake up. Like the candles that die as they burn, in the dying there is light. We take that image to heart and contemplate death and life. They're so connected, the light and the darkness. As Victor Frankl once wrote, what is to give light must endure burning.